Greetings, everybody. And I just wanted to say greetings to everybody from the global cooling capital of Canada. That was a famous line from a famous dentist last night. So anyway, I'll let you try to figure who that was. Brethren, take your Bibles and turn to 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, and verse 1 we will begin in. And the title of this is, very quickly, Predictions for 2018. Because as you are certainly aware, that we have come into a new calendar year, a civil calendar year, as the world counts it. Of course, we do not go by that calendar specifically. We do go by the Hebrew calendar when we count out the holy days, because that's God's inspired calendar. But again, people do tend to reflect at this time of year. They start to think about, well, where have we been and where are we going? That's the question. And of course, the world doesn't have the answer, do they? But we have some of the answers, of course. 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. Again, I'm not reading there yet, but I will very shortly. But I'm just laying the groundwork for this. Again, as I said, it is predictions for 2018. People get perhaps a little bit excited, a little bit worried, because they think, well, the world wasn't doing so well in 2017. It could get a lot worse. And then there are others who think, well, hopefully it's going to get a lot better. If you looked at the economic news in the United States more recently, you have seen that their economy is exploding going forward. They are predicting that it's going to really take off in the year 2018. And, of course, when the economy goes good, people become optimistic about where the nation is, where the world is, where the prospects for it, and so on and so forth. And so is that realistic? In a sense, brethren, it is, I think, because you see the stock market going through the ceiling in the United States, and their unemployment statistics are plummeting, and their GDP, or gross national product, as they call it, is skyrocketing. So all of the things look very good for them. And it brings us to this scripture here, brethren, because when things start to look really rosy, God says that's almost like a warning sign to the world and to God's people and to us, of course, because when it's looking like the best of times coming, then that's not necessarily a good sign. It says here in verse 1, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, of course, we're talking about the time of return of Jesus Christ. That is what he is talking about. That's what we live for, the return of Christ. That's what it's all about. That's what we're excited about. That's what is our life. It's what drives us as a people, the return of Jesus Christ. As the times of the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write to you. Paul said, you don't need that I write to you concerning those things. Why? Because he says in verse 2, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. Now, when you put the scriptures together, you get a picture that sort of shows that when conditions may look rosy in the Western world, in the United States and the British Empire, as it formerly was called, the descended nations from Jacob, you see, brethren, that when things look really rosy and so on and so forth, people get optimistic, then very suddenly things can turn ominous. You'll remember, brethren, actually you won't remember, but some people will know very much so about the Great Depression of the 1930s. And of course it began in the 1920s to some degree. What happened in that time, it pushed the world towards war. The ultimate outcome of the Depression, of an economic collapse, was World War II. Well, we see again, with the prospects of the Western world and the economy starting to flourish, that may not be a good sign for the rest of the world, because they'll try to keep up. Can you imagine Canada trying to keep up with the United States with their economy going so well and ours not going so well? They may well leave us behind, and there may be some hurt feelings or bad feelings about that between the United States and the European Union as well, and some of the other nations like China. Seeing the United States economy take off and the rest of the nation sort of left behind and trying to play catch up, it doesn't leave a good taste in the mouths of a lot of these nations. And so there will become some kind of an enmity that will build and develop as we see a breach in the world between the Gentile nations, the European beast power, and the Western nations, the Israelite nations. And so we can see there could be building a time where it looks rosy from our perspective, but not so rosy from the perspective of prophecy, because it says here, verse 3, "For when they shall say peace and safety," brethren, when you can say that, when you can say peace and safety, when you can say my country is doing really well and things look great, peace and safety, that's almost like a warning signal. And if the United States economy takes off, the great nation known as that came from the descendants of Manasseh, Joseph's son in Egypt, when you see that happening, then it can flip very quickly, very quickly. And that seems to be a bit of the message in the Bible, that when you see things going a certain way, don't count on it. Things can turn south very quickly. And so that's what he's saying here. And it says, peace and safety. Then sudden destruction comes upon them. Brethren, we as a church of God always need to be ready. A calendar year has just turned, but we're still living in the end of the age. And things are ominous. They really are. When you look at the things that are going on in the world, compare them with the Bible, we realize that we are living in a time unlike any other time in the history of the world. And things are ominous, brethren, when you really look at it with open eyes. Brethren, one of the big things that President Donald Trump has been talking about since he became president, and one of the things, his rallying cries that a lot of people have hooked into, and it's reasonable in a sense, because everybody wants their nation to do well. They really do. You live in a country, you want to see it do well. He has this thing, in short term, it's called MAGA. M-A-G-A. That means make America great again. And that's what people want. Wouldn't you like to make Canada great again, brethren? Wouldn't you really want to do that? Would you really want to see Canada take off, do well, be blessed, everything turns out good, everything turns out right? Absolutely. I mean, that is a real winning kind of a phrase, if you want to use a phrase to try to promote something, and that's what they have done down there. But unfortunately, brethren, you kind of get the cart before the horse with that phrase, because the thing that really made America great was not human production, not human activity. It was a supreme blessing that came from God. And unfortunately, the United States, Canada, and these nations have gone away from God, or any semblance of the true God, and drifted away. You know, you talk about people who are religious and sincere, and they say, well, I want to just believe the Bible. And then when you talk about issues and things in the Bible, they will come up with every kind of excuse you can imagine to say, well, that really doesn't matter. You know, 3 days and three nights in the grave or things like that, issues that are so plain in the Bible, people will argue with you and say, well, I believe the Bible, but I don't believe that. You try and figure that one out. And so many other basic truths in the Bible that are so obvious that it doesn't take a rocket scientist to try to figure them out. And yet you take that and explain to somebody who presents himself as a religious person and they don't believe it. And really, brethren, that is what it's all about. God is trying to get in the heads of people the fact that ultimately we have to believe God and trust Him for the blessings. It can't come from ourselves. If we really want to make America great again, we need to turn back to God, don't we? Let's turn over to Isaiah, the first chapter. Very interesting set of scriptures here. It talks about Israel, and really it does talk about Israel in the end of the age, because that's what this book was written for more than any other time period, is talking about Israel in the end of the age. It says in verse 5 here, very quickly, it's talking about a nation. Verse 5, why should you be stricken anymore? In other words, why should you suffer setbacks anymore? And so on and so forth. You will revolt more and more. Brethren, these nations are turned against God, and that is why they are losing their prominence in the world. That's why. And then look at what he says about these nations. It says here, the whole head is sick and the heart is faint. Brethren, you can try to make America great again, But if you don't address things like abortion, you don't address things like same-sex marriage, you don't address issues like that, which are so opposite to the law and the truth and the way of God, you'll never make America great again, brethren. You never will. You're going to flounder. Brethren, that is the issue that confronts our nations today. They may, for the short term, thrive and move forward. Their stock market may top out around 30,000 or something like that. Their unemployment rate may continue to go down. But ultimately, brethren, God is going to hold our nations accountable. He really is. And they will crash. There will be an economic collapse that will take place just prior to the Great Tribulation. It's going to bring the earth and the world and the nations all down with it. And then, of course, we will see the end time scenario take place. We don't know how close that is, brethren, but it may be a lot closer than we realize.